Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. Friday, July 31st, 2020. Three big things you need to know. Three. Americans' views of China have continued to sour, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. 73% of adults say they have an unfavorable view of the country. That's up 26 points from 2018. I wonder why. Two, the Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman would be celebrating a birthday today if he were still with us. We hear some wisdom throughout this hour from this most brilliant man. And number one, the New York Times reports that teachers' unions across the country are threatening to strike if classrooms reopen, but also pushing to limit live remote teaching. So what is it exactly they're willing to do? Scott Bertram in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning as we close out the month of July and enter into the month of August. That hasn't changed despite the pandemic. The months still continue on as normal. I'm up here at Hillsdale College, where I serve as the general manager for the student radio station here on campus, WRFH, the 2019 College Radio Station of the Year in Michigan, as judged by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. It's ringing our little bell here. I also teach in the journalism department. Find me hosting the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, heard on many of these fine radio stations over the weekend, and also in podcast form as well. At SoundCloud, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and elsewhere. Be sure to check that out. The Hillsdale College Classical Education Podcast. Political Beats over at National Review, where I talk with people in and around the world of politics about their favorite band or musician. No politics at all. Doing Bruce Springsteen now, if you search for Political Beats over at National Review. You can also find my writing at National Review, at the American Spectator, and elsewhere, too, depending on where you're looking. You can't escape me. It's just the way it goes. So, well, first of all, can I give you a quick update from home? I called home during the top of the hour break there. What's happening this morning? My son, my seven-year-old, has decided he's going to keep a millipede as a family pet. And so he was asking Google, what do millipedes eat? The answer, decaying wood and decaying leaves. So he said after he has breakfast, he's going to go feed his millipede some decaying wood and decaying leaves. So that's what we have to look forward to. That's the fun at home today. We have a new pet millipede. I know you're all very jealous, very jealous. My seven-year-old and my five-year-old, though, both very much looking forward to school in a couple of weeks. Their school opens August 19th, so like 3 weeks away, something along those lines, right? A little more than 3 weeks away. And looking to do in person, of course. You know, this is such a big deal now. If you were with me a month ago when I was filling in for Steve, we talked about this a ton, getting set for this fight about reopening schools. And the fight continues. I had a tweet go semi-viral earlier this week. Not totally viral, semi-viral. This New York Times story from Wednesday, headline, "Teachers are wary of returning to class and online instruction, too. Unions are threatening to strike if classrooms reopen, but are also pushing to limit live remote teaching." This is the story in the New York Times. Teachers don't want to teach in class. Teachers don't want to... let me rephrase, because there are many good teachers out there. Teachers' unions don't want to teach in class. Teachers' union officials do not want to teach online instruction, live remote learning, either. So what exactly do they want to do? Those seem like the viable options we have in front of us. Inside the story, some incredible stuff here. Some critics see teachers' unions as trying to have it both ways. You don't say. Reluctant to return to classrooms, but also resistant in some districts to providing a full day of remote school via tools like live video, the kind of interactive online instruction that many parents say their children need after watching them flounder in the spring. Dion Hurley lives in the South Bronx, says her 18-year-old son, who has autism, regressed by a year in a month after schools shuttered. "Our kids need in-person training. We all know there's a pandemic. It's affecting everyone," she said. "You can't just keep saying you're scared. We're all scared." In Sacramento, in California, the district will open in a remote-only setting on September 3rd. It has proposed that lessons delivered live over video or audio should be recorded for families to access at times that are convenient for them. Makes sense, right? No. The union has objected, arguing that recording lessons could be a violation of privacy for educators because their likenesses could be posted and viewed without their explicit permission. This one, parents have made it clear that, that what was done in the spring is not enough. The local union president in Miami says her members, teachers, were willing to follow a more traditional schedule with online learning, remote learning, but many teachers have expressed anxiety about how they and their homes would look on camera during live teaching. So we don't want to return to in-person teaching, and we're not a big fan of online instruction because some teachers, at least in the Miami district, are concerned and have expressed anxiety about how their homes would look on camera. There's a letter. I mean, I usually don't draw random letters from newspapers across the country to share with you. There's one in the Baltimore Sun that is pretty powerful. Jenny Elliott writes this in the Baltimore Sun. Can anyone be honest about the realities of virtual learning, especially for young children? He says, I am begging someone to speak honestly about virtual learning. I only have the perspective of an elementary school parent, but I have to imagine this negatively impacts children of all levels. The communication coming out all over the country, including my local jurisdiction, feels delusional. I have no alternative, but I also can't pretend that the virtual school plans will work for our kids. It will be different this time, officials say. I interpret that to mean more Chromebooks, more structured and supported learning plans, lesson plans, more training given to teachers on how to create a virtual lesson plan. I appreciate those efforts and wholeheartedly believe the educational system is doing the best they can. But what won't be different is how my children react to virtual learning. It just doesn't work for them. I can't physically force them to stare at their devices and absorb information. We've yelled, we've begged, we've made a game of it, we've changed locations in the house, we've tried everything we can think of, we have failed. My kids will be different this time, sure. They've actually have been more traumatized than they were in March when schools closed. It's now been 5 months without friends or even a remote feeling of normalcy. My 8-year-old, it's a letter from Jenny Elliott in the Baltimore Sun, my 8-year-old was sobbing last night because she misses playing with her friends at recess. She misses her teacher. She's worried that everyone has forgotten her. At one point, she asked me if she was even real anymore. That's how my child feels, abandoned, lost, like she is disappearing. And this is a kid that has a secure living situation, two parents, food security, access to high-speed internet, etc. You can read the whole piece in Baltimore Sun, Jenny Elliott writing. We, again, as I said a month ago, say again now, we cannot just look at children as these vectors of disease, perhaps carrying disease. They have needs, wants, desires. They have rights, too. We need to be attentive to that. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show.
There's satisfaction in building something new, something important, and something that will last for generations. Right now, there are job openings across Michigan for construction workers of all kinds. It could be you. Demand for construction workers has never been higher. You can help build roads, bridges, and infrastructure all across Michigan. And remember, construction workers are cool. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner to find out more about opportunities, education, and real possibilities for your future. Click on the Michigan Construction banner at stevegruber.com. Do it today.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is back, summer style. Right now, save big on all remaining 2019 Roxors, starting at $750 off. Hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a 2.5-liter four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. It's the side-by-side unlike any other. But hurry, the Roxor Beast of a Summer Sales event is only for a limited time. Go to RoxorOffroad.com/offers to learn more.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over 1 million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.